Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams, and I'm here with Pastor Stephen Tate. And we're here, and we're on the radio.
Yes, we are.
And we're going to be talking to you from Acts chapter 9, verse number 36 is where we're going to pick it up. We're talking about a visit that Peter took to Joppa. And in verse number 36, it says it was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, and who was always doing good and helping the poor. It's amazing, oftentimes when I read the scriptures and I see somebody, whether it's Cornelius or Dorcas or anyone who's doing good to the poor, God takes notice of them and seems to do something for them. It seems like God has a heart for the poor.
Yeah, he is concerned with those who society often overlooks.
Yeah, they do overlook. There's a lot of people in society that are untouchables in some cultures, and in other cultures, they just are completely overlooked. overlooked. We have a big problem, I think, in America today with homeless people. And I was just out in Seattle, and they are everywhere. It seems like it's a real epidemic. And there's maybe a lot of reasons for it, but there are a lot of people that are moving here. And then there are a lot of people that are just withdrawing from society. And they're very, very much in need.
Yeah, and there are people who have it a gift, and they have it on their heart to minister specifically to people who have those kinds of needs.
And so here, this lady, Tabitha or Dorcas, whichever one you'd like to call, all of a sudden had this ability to help the poor. Like you said, she had a heart for it. And in verse number 37, Acts chapter 9, if you're following along, about that time she became sick and she died. Now, we've been talking about how God takes care of people that have a heart for the poor, and all of a sudden we have some reality that hits us right in the eyes here, that death comes along.
Yeah, sometimes it's the people that we least expect or those that we think deserve to live the most that it seems like sometimes something tragic happens to.
Yeah, it really is. I know that in God's eyes, the most important thing is our soul and our spirit, because the body will be resurrected if you believe in Christ. So he understands that. But nevertheless, here's a woman who was doing good, helping the poor, and people probably wondered how come she got sick and died.
Yeah.
Now, why did this happen to her? I can only imagine all the neighbors thinking of the problem. And all of a sudden it says, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. That was the day, because in the Jewish culture, I believe you had to be in the ground that particular day. You had to get in before the sun went down.
Yeah, Jews didn't practice embalming, and so
quickly just
they had
it,
to be fast.
And just wash the body and place it in a room until they could bury her. And so the Bible says that she's upstairs now, washed, clean, dead. Lydia was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him and encouraged him, please come at once. Now, I am amazed that they knew that Jesus raised people from the dead, but now they're looking to the disciples to do the same thing.
Talk about pressure situation, right?
Ooh,
high pressure for Peter.
For Peter. You know, I agree. It must have been really high pressure. When Peter saw Jesus raised people from the dead like Lazarus, and he saw this, it probably helped him believe that God was still alive and could do this. But this is a real challenge, like you say, to his position, especially being the head disciple, if you will.
Yeah. He was one of the three also who was taken into the room with the little girl that Christ raised, a few disciples and the parents. And so he had seen Jesus do this, but still, to be called out and expected to raise someone from the dead, that's quite the obligation.
Now, it's interesting, and I think the wisdom would come that if somebody urged us to do this, we would probably maybe go with them. And Peter did go with them. In verse number 39, he says, Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the windows stood around him. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with him. So here we have this wonderful woman who is really has a heart for the poor. All the clothing that she made, you can see what her life was. And the widows who have lost husbands now they're losing this wonderful woman of faith who is reaching out to the poor. They're standing and they're all crying.
Yeah. And part of the context I think you have to keep in mind, too, is that they didn't have the same kind of safety nets in their social systems that we have today. There really was nothing for widows to kind of help them, to catch them once their husband had passed away. And so for someone, and it wasn't taken for granted. Many times in our own society, we take for granted that the poor should be helped. And that is really a Christian value. It's not a worldly value, and it certainly wasn't a value in the Roman and Greek world of the day. And so these women would have been without support, except for God had raised up a woman like Dorcas that had been helping and supplying their needs.
Well, that's a wonderful thought, because a lot of times people think, well, that's the government's job to really help the poor. And so we say, well, that's just the democratic thing or the right thing to do. But really, it is a Christian value. value. That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
It comes from the biblical values that you, whatever you're doing to the least of these, Jesus says you're doing them unto me.
Yeah.
And so we have the compassion to reach out towards those that are in need. Now, I just came back from Seattle visiting my grandchildren, and when I went to a church, and it was on a... It was right by a common place, which was like a park, a beautiful park, and surrounded by apartments. They were more, they were like apartments, but they were large buildings. And the most of the rents for a one apartment, or the if you wanted to buy one, they're like $1.3 million
wow.
for a small place. And this is around a beautiful park. But inside the park, filled with homeless, tents. The city had put porta potties in there.
Wow.
Everything. It was just a mess. It really was. And the big sign, a man had a huge sign up there, and the sign said, tax the rich. And that's everyone was tax the rich, tax the rich. And I thought to myself, that's really not a very good way to put it. You're not going to gender any kind of compassion with that kind of sign, tax
right.
the rich. So I thought that it would be better if he would put up a sign that says, do what you do unto the least of these, you do unto me.
Yeah.
And that's a sign that would say, look, would Jesus treat people like this? Would need to have some compassion? And I thought to myself, that's a better motivator for people to give, to really be helpful. And so they have a real challenge there, and we face some of it here in our area. And I don't know how the casino we're putting in downtown is going to affect us, but I have a feeling eventually you're going to have more and more of the people in great need because of that.
Yeah, I think it will exaggerate the problems for sure.
I think it will. So here we find Peter being drawn to this particular situation because they're asking him to come. And the widows, like you mentioned, they had lost a wonderful friend who probably helped them a lot, Dorcas, and so forth. And so they're crying. And Peter now sends them all out of the room. Now, I think he might have got that from Jesus. Didn't
Seems
Jesus,
like it.
Jesus did that too. Sometimes he'd send everybody out of the room except for, like you said, Peter and James and and one time.
So yeah, it's kind of reminiscent of Elijah in the Old Testament too, when he raised the woman's son. He sent her out of the room before he laid down and prayed for her there. So
you know, I often wonder why you sent him out of the room, but I have a feeling, and I've been in services where you feel like there's a lot of unbelief in the service, or there's a lot of people that are they're negative, their thoughts, patterns, whatever, toward what you're saying, and they're questioning whether or not you really know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you're trying to preach, and you can sense that resistance that's there. And Jesus often said that he couldn't do a lot of miracles because of the lack of faith and unbelief in the area.
That's true.
So here, I'm thinking Peter's saying these women are crying, so they're already committed that she's dead. They're already thinking that there's no hope for her.
Yeah.
There's really not much faith going on when you're crying and you're having this. So he sends them all out of the room, and they got down on his knees. Then Peter prayed and turned toward the dead woman, and he said, Tabitha, now he didn't say Dorcas, that's pretty interesting, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. That's pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
Look at that. When you look at that, just simply, he said to her, get up. And again, he saw this with Jesus when he told the man, just the, you want to be healed? Just pick up your mat, get up.
Right.
It's truly, you know, at this moment, there is a gift of faith that's operating in Peter's heart at this moment. And there's a miracle that takes place because he's speaking in with a gift of faith. I believe that, you know, he didn't say this to a lot of people. He said this to this one person who was dead. He didn't go around raising the dead after this.
Right.
It was a one-time thing where the gift came and God spoke to him at this moment. Even though other people had called upon him, he still activated this with a gift of faith, and he simply says, get up.
Yeah. Yeah, and the result was that many believed. That's, many believe in the Lord.
You know, and I think that's the truth for any miracle, don't you think?
Yeah.
That's the purpose of a miracle.
That's the purpose, yeah.
The miracle gives way for the opening of the word, and the miracle confirms the word that's preached. So
yeah,
that's what happens. And he took her by the hand, and he helped her to her feet. I like that. So she opens her eyes. She doesn't jump right up. He actually has to take her by the hand and help her up.
Yeah.
Now, I've tried this a couple of times, and I guess I must not have been in working with faith, but I've actually had people, and I've gone up to them in wheelchairs, and I've actually prayed over them and grabbed their hand and told them to get up. I pull them up, and they don't quite get up, and they don't stand up. And, you know, I have to ask myself, is the problem with me? Is the problem I didn't hear from God? Is the problem a lack of faith? I really don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I should stop doing it.
Sure. Yeah, there's an element of God's choice, his sovereignty involved in it. But he tells us to pray for people in faith and to believe that he can heal and he will raise them up.
That's it. I'm still believing for one person in our church to get up out of his wheelchair. I'm still believing for God to give me direction. I pray almost every Sunday when we go, and I'm watching him in church, and I'm praying for God to tell me this is the day, because I really believe God wants to raise him up out of that chair.
Yeah.
But here, that's what Peter does. He simply takes her by the hand and helps her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. I can only imagine. I can only imagine what happens.
Yeah.
And this is a true miracle, because she is dead, and she is rises from the dead, and he presents her to the widows who have been crying because of her loss.
Yeah, it must have been quite the church service there.
I have a feeling they had some. They may have been shocked, though.
Yeah.
You know, with awe at that particular moment. A lot of times when you're confronted with a real miracle, you can't really say anything about it. It's just overwhelming, because it goes beyond anything that's natural.
Yeah. But it appears that they had some faith that this was what God could do, because they had enough faith at least to call for Peter to come
and to pray
for him. And this is what James tells us to do later on, right? He says, call for the elders of the church and ask them to pray the prayer of faith and anoint you with oil and confess your sins and believe that God will raise the sick person.
That's true. And in this particular case, if you're listening to this, it would seem to me that we're reading this, and maybe if you're listening to this, it may be the Lord saying to you, why don't you call for the elders of the church? Why don't you make your way to the church, and let's believe together that God's going to touch and heal and do a miracle in your life. And you may need it, and you may have enough faith to say, okay, Lord, I believe you can do this, and make a trip to the church. Do what you have to do to get there.
Yeah.
And make your way to the altar, and let's believe God together.
Sometimes it's just that small step of faith, enough faith to come and to just obey God's word, even though you're not sure. Maybe you have doubts, you're not sure about what's going to happen. You've got enough faith at least to say, you know what, I can go, and I can go down, and I can receive prayer. And maybe the Lord will use that mustard seed faith to do something unimaginable in your life.
Yeah. Or maybe you'll be like the centurion. You can say, I don't have to go down there, Pastor Adams or Pastor Kay. All you got to do is speak the word on the microphone.
It could be. Maybe you'll be healed right now.
Right now.
Who knows?
You just never know how God's going to do things. And so we read this particular verse of Scripture because we're going by verse as we do this radio program. And so we're reading this about a healing, actually miraculous healing, because we're talking about someone who's actually risen from the dead. So this is maybe for you who are ill in body, maybe for you who have been believing for God to touch your body, and perhaps you'll have to call upon Peter. You'll have to call and urge. And Peter here, representative of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, representative of one who's called to preach the gospel. That's what the pastors here at Bethany have been called to do. And so maybe you would call upon them. Maybe you would take your, however it is, to get to the altar and ask the pastors to pray for you, and maybe this would be your time to be healed. Because Tabitha, all she really did was listen. She was, even though she's dead, she's still hearing, and he simply says, get up, and her eyes are open. I mean, I think that's pretty amazing, because her eyes are shut, obviously, but now her eyes are open. She saw Peter, sat up, takes her by the hand, and all of a sudden, he presents her to the widows, alive and well.
Yeah.
And this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord.
Yeah. It opened the door for the gospel to continue to spread. And one of the things I think is pretty cool in this process and is that you see Peter is growing through all of this as well. You see that prior to this, he heals a man who's been bedridden for 8 years. He's been a part of God's used him to heal people in the past, but now he takes this step and he's used to, as far as I remember, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, but this is the first time after Jesus that someone has been used to raise someone from the dead.
It is the first
that I'm
time.
Aware of. And so yep. He's used in that way. But the next step is an even bigger one for him. He's in Joppa now. And the next verse says he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. And the next thing that God's going to call him to do is to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And so in all of this, it seems that God's slowly beginning to stretch Peter to trust him for bigger and bigger things. And God does that in our lives as well, stretches us to trust him for more and more and more.
Yeah. And let's face it, sometimes we don't want to cross the street and talk with our angry neighbor about the Lord.
That's true.
I don't think Peter had the in his heart to go outside of the Jewish nation and to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. I don't think he had it in his heart. But here we find, like you mentioned, he stays in Joppa, and then the Holy Spirit guides a couple people there to knock on a door, and he ends up over at a
centurion. God's overseeing
He's
the whole thing.
He's overseeing the whole thing, and he ends up reaching out to a Gentile, and the whole family saved. And interestingly, they're all baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, which becomes a powerful impetus for the council in Jerusalem so that they can verify that Paul's ministry is valid. It's a valid ministry. And how was it valid? It's because this Gentile also spoke in another tongue, just like they did.
Yeah.
And so it validates Paul going to the Gentiles. It validates the whole mission outreach of the church, and it's one powerful message. You know, this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Tay, and we hope that if you have a need, call upon Peter. Call upon the pastors of a church to pray over you, believe God for you, because God wants to preach the word to your neighbor.
Yes.
That's the key. Hey, have a great day. God bless.